Okay, we are up to Shmuel Beis Perek Yud Dalid, and we continue with the story of David HaMelech and his children. We just had the previous Perek, the tragic Perek of the story of Amnon and Tamar, and Amnon eventually was killed by Avshalom a couple years later. Avshalom runs away to Melech Geshur, his maternal grandfather, and he is there for a couple of years, and the Perek ended that David HaMelech yearns for Avshalom. So the Pis Perek starts off that Yoav ben Tsruya realized that the king yearned for Avshalom, though he yearned for him, he wasn't really ready to forgive him and ready to be very close with him. But Yoav tries to come up with a story to bring Avshalom back. It's clear that he doesn't want to, can't tell the king directly, but he hires and he brings a wise woman from Tekoa, and he says, dress up, pretend that you're in mourning, and go to the king, and this is what you should say. And this is what she does say. She goes to David HaMelech and says, I'm an almana, I'm a widow. I had two boys, two of them went out fighting, and one of them got up and killed the other one. And now all of my relatives want to kill the one Yoresh that I have left. And yes, he was mistaken. Yes, he didn't do what he was supposed to do. But I don't want them to do it. Please protect my one remaining son. And the king says, sure, okay, I'll protect him. The woman says, no, you have to take it upon yourself. He says, okay, just tell him not to touch. The woman says, no, it's not good enough. He says, don't worry, tell them if one of his hairs falls to the ground, then that's it. They're gonna pay for it. And then the woman switches over and starts explaining to David that she is really talking about himself, about Amnon and Avshalom, that really you should take Avshalom back. She says it in a hidden way. She doesn't come out and say, like Nasan says, Atoha Ish, but in a hidden way, she says, you know, if somebody kills, if you just kill more, it's not gonna be effective, and Amnon was gonna die anyway, and in hidden ways, she gives the impression that David should take Avshalom back. The king turns to her and says, who put you up to this? Was it Yoav? And the woman says, I cannot tell a lie. Yes, it was Yoav. The king sends for Yoav and says, fine, bring Avshalom back. So Yoav is very ecstatic, brings Avshalom back to Yerushalayim, but David HaMelech says, let him be in Yerushalayim, but I don't want to see him. And he stays in Yerushalayim for 2 years without being seen by his father. The Navi describes that Avshalom is very handsome, from top to bottom. Nobody was as handsome as he was. He also has beautiful locks, beautiful hair, and he had children, and he had a daughter, and he was there for 2 years, and the king didn't say a word to him. Avshalom finally sends to Yoav and says, does he want me back? Tell him that let me see him. Once, twice. After a second time, Yoav gives up. Avshalom goes and burns down Yoav's field. And Yoav says, why'd you do that? Avshalom says, I want you to keep fighting for me. And he goes, and finally, at the end of the Perek, the last line is that Avshalom is brought to David HaMelech, and David HaMelech gives him a kiss. And that is how the Perek ends. But it's clear that David HaMelech still has strong feelings about Avshalom, which will also lead to Avshalom going away from David in the very near future. So this is the Perek, which continues the stories of the second half of Shmuel Beis. So let's get back to the beginning. Vayeda Yoav ben Tsruya, ki lev HaMelech al Avshalom. Yoav ben Tsruya knew that the king was thinking about Avshalom. It is very unclear, but it is a very interesting question. What did Yoav have in all of this? Why did Yoav try so hard to bring Avshalom back? No, what was the problem? So one answer could be that, well, maybe he already foresaw that Avshalom might try something, and he wanted to be on both of their good sides. He wanted to be on David's good side, he wanted to be on Avshalom's good side, so maybe he just wanted to have Avshalom, he wanted to be on the winning team. So if he could have them both on his side and be on their side, so then that would be better. Others say that maybe if David HaMelech would be able to forgive Avshalom, so then maybe he would be able to forgive Yoav too. Remember, David HaMelech already cursed Yoav and said that how could you? He killed Avner, and David was very upset about it, and he cursed him. But Yoav would say, but what do you mean? It was revenge. It was because of what he did to my brother Asael. So maybe here too, if he could forgive Avshalom for what he did to Amnon, maybe that would also be a way to bring himself back in the heart of David. But either way, so Yoav has this whole plan. Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa, he sends to Tekoa. Tekoa is known for their oil. The Mefarshim quote the Mishnah Maseches Menachos that all the oil for the Beis HaMikdash came from Tekoa. Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa. Vayikach Misham Isha Chachama, he brought from there a very wise woman. Very wise woman, right? He couldn't just just tell David clearly. And also, interesting, some of the Mefarshim say that David HaMelech also couldn't come to terms with it. It was very hard for him. Why? Because it's son against son. It wasn't that he could be objective. If he's too hard on Avshalom, then that's one son. But if he's too easy on Avshalom, maybe he's violating Amnon. But if he's too easy on Avshalom, right? So then too hard on Avshalom, it's unclear, right? He's talking about two of his sons. That's why he really had his hands tied, so to speak. He was kind of stuck, and that's why Yoav was trying to help him out. So he gets an Isha Chachama, Vayomer Elayis Esther, his Abelina, pretend to be in Avelus. For Livshina, Big Day Avel, where Big Day Avelus, we know the halachas about Avelim not being able to wash their clothes for a certain amount of time. V'yaltasuchi shemen, v'ayis ki isha ze yamin rabim misabelas almes. Pretend that you're a woman that's been in mourning for a long time. Go to the king and say the following. So she says, okay. V'atomer isha tekoes al hamelech, she comes, v'atipal al alpeh artsa v'teshtachu, she bows, v'atomer, she says, Hoshia hamelech. You have to please help me out. Save me, save me. But Yomala Hamelech, Malach, and the king says, interesting that it keeps calling just Hamelech, Hamelech, Hamelech. Right, in this whole parak, David Hamelech is not mentioned that often. It's mostly Hamelech, Hamelech. Maybe because in all of these stories, he is acting more like an official king than he is a father. Right, and throughout the parak, if you look, he's called Hamelech, 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 all the way throughout, even till the end, where he gives a kiss to Avshalom, he's called Hamelech. It doesn't say Hamelech David. It's throughout. Interesting ha'ara. Okay, so what happens? So the king says, "What can I do for you?" Vayom Tomer, she says, "Avo isha almana ani vadyamas ishi." I'm a widow, and my husband has died. What's the double lashon? Obviously, if you're a widow, your husband died. Why does it say both? So the Radak says, "What is the kefa lashon? Ani isha almana ze yamim." I've been a widow for a long time, but if my second son is going to be killed, so then it'll be to me as if my husband died again. Because this child is like my connection to my husband. So, anamana, and my ishi is going to die again unless you help me out. That's one shot of the double lashon. The Mitzudas David just says it's natural for someone in this type of state to express herself in this way, as if to say, if my husband would be alive, then all of this wouldn't be happening, right? He would be here to be able to educate, to be able to be a supporter of me. So I'm a widow, and my husband's dead, and that's why all this is happening. It's an emphasis. The Malbim has a different creative shot. The Malbim says maybe she's saying I'm an almana twice, meaning I'm a katlanis. I'm someone who is muhsekes, that her husband's died, if I can't get married again. There's no other husband that I have to help me. V'aloshen morei shekfar meisu l'shnei anashim, says the Malbim. Ba'ofen shemazalo ra ki mazal garam, ve'en la tikva liyos la'ish u'laholi banim ki katzlanis. Right, major sugi in Maseches Yevamos. But maybe that's what's being alluded to, says the Malbim. U'lashiv chas l'shnei banim, she continues now and says, and she, your maidservant, I have two sons. They went out in the sadeh, ve'en matzil b'nehem. They went out, and there was nobody to save. There was nobody to try to mediate between them. One of them got up, and the other one, and one killed the other one. Exactly, the story reminds us. The Abar Ben El points out that this story reminds us: two brothers go out to the field. One gets up on the other one, and kills him. Cain and Hevel. Sounds very similar to Cain and Hevel. V'im zeh, says the Abar Ben El, ain safek. There is no doubt. It's relating it to Adam, and he goes through a lot of the details of her mashal. He had two sons, Cain and Hevel. And also there, the Torah says they went out, they fought, doesn't say what they fought about. They went out and fought. Let me remind you, David, what did Hashem do to Cain? Did he kill him? Did he punish him? He accepted, according to many, Cain's tshuva. He even gave him a protection for the rest of his life. He gave him an os, so no one else would kill him. V'im kol ze lo himiso HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avosam lo os levilti akoso so kalmotso. He gives him an os that nobody would hurt him, whoever finds him. V'lefi shahayez el adam arishon. Tochachas megula v'yisor and kashim ma'od. V'im kol ze lo harages b'na. Right? Through all of this, he didn't do anything. If Hashem didn't do it, then you should also learn from his behavior. The Mishpat Zozov also notes here that there are really three claims that the woman is having to try to convince David to take Avshalom back and not hold the hatred inside. Number one, Amra Shamariva Haisa Basadeh. The first thing, they were in the field, meaning what? There were no witnesses. Number two, there was nobody to try to make shalom. Kind of a little musr to David, that you didn't try. Remember, Avshalom and Amnon didn't talk to each other. You didn't try to get involved and bring it back. V'gam, and also, shalofnei haretzach ravu b'neihem, v'echad hikas hasheni, v'ilo din shal rodef. They were fighting with each other. So it could be that Avshalom would have been killed if he wouldn't have fought back, so he had to. So that is why the Mishpat Zozov quotes from the Mefarshim that she was trying to convince David not to hold the grudge anymore. So what happens? But this was all still in the hint. V'nei kama kol mishpacha, the whole family now has come to me and said, "Tnias makay achiv, give us the brother that killed Unimiseu benefesh achiv. We are going to kill him. We are going to kill him." And she says, "They can't kill him. Why? He's not chayav misa." The Radak says, there were no Edim, and there was no Hasra, right? And it could be, the Radak even adds, that these relatives are on L'shem Shemayim. You might say, oh, Goal Adam. There are all these halachas that a person who murders B'shogeg has to run to the Ari Miklat because the Goal Adam has the rights. Says the Radak, these people, these Krovim, might also just be out for the Yerusha, might be out for ulterior motives, and therefore, we have to protect him. Vayomer Hamelech Elisha L'chila Beisech. So the king says, David Melech says, okay, go home, Vani Atzav Elaych. I'll take care of it, don't worry. Vatamer Isha Tekoes Ala Melech. Alai Adoni Hamelech Avon Val Beisavi. Hamelech V'Kisonachi. I'm going to have the sin, and the king's going to be clean. Meaning what? Your word just now is not going to help me. I'm going to go back, and they're going to try to kill him. Vayomer, you have to do it now, she's saying. They're not going to touch you. Don't worry. They're not going to touch you. But Tomer, Yiskun Amelach, the king should remember as Hashem Elokecha. What do you mean, remember Hashem Elokecha? The Baronel says, Yud Gimel Midos of Hashem, Rachum Chanun. Remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to save me. And he says, fine, they're not going to touch you. So now the woman says, okay, can I say a little bit more? And David says, okay. This is the second time in only a couple of prakim that David HaMelech has somebody talking to him about himself, and he doesn't get it. He doesn't realize that they're talking about him. It's amazing. You would think by this time, you know, he would realize. Nasan did it, and here, this woman is doing it too. So there are a couple of pshatim given how David HaMelech wasn't able to see through. Some say that it was all Me'es Hashem. It was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem didn't want him to recognize it right now. That's what some of Farshim say. Because, I'll read again, for the Mishpat Zozov has a summary. Shezev vadei shemin ha-shamayim subavu es kol zos, kivan shebekach niftach ha-pesach shaydei avshalom yizkayim, mashanemer le-David. This is part of the punishment, part of everything that's happening. Number one. Number two is a beautiful thought. Some of Farshim say, David HaMelech, when he heard about somebody else's plight, he was in their shoes. He was there. He was there. So he didn't ever identify it by himself. Because he was just in those shoes. I mentioned in the past that I once met somebody who learned with the Chafetz Chaim. And I asked him, tell me a story about the Chafetz. Tell me something. He said, the Chafetz Chaim, he was in the person's shoes. He heard about a simcha. Somebody got, an older single got married. He was mamish crying like it was his own daughter. Crying. He heard about somebody had a baby after so many years. Crying like he was the Zaydi. And he was the Zaydi. And Rachmanos on the opposite. He heard about a loss, about a tragedy. He was in their shoes. Where'd he get that from? David HaMelech. Right here. You know why David didn't connect it to himself? Because he wasn't totally not focused on himself. He heard about the pain of the rich guy and the poor guy. Right? By Nasan HaNavi. He hears about this woman, this terrible story. See, he's totally out of himself. He's into the woman's shoes. And that's why he doesn't connect it to his own life. Beautiful idea about David HaMelech. Not that he was gullible, that he was not smart, not focused, but he was totally thinking about the other person and not thinking about himself. But either way, so he didn't notice it. Vatomer Aisha. Pasuk Yud Gimel. So now comes the, we already had the mashal, now we have the nimshal, right? What it's supposed to be teaching David, but again, it's not said explicitly. The Mefarshim will discuss, what do these psukim mean? Says the woman, V'lama chashavta kazo salam elokim. I just made up a story. How can you believe me that there were fellow Jews trying to kill their brother? Right, how did you believe me? Right, what about Dalakav Schus? What about B'tzedek Tishpon Amisecha? And don't go back on your word, oh, your majesty, right? That you're going to think, oh, I didn't really mean it. Now that I realize what you're talking about, I'm going to go back and not accept Avshalom. No. Because realize, and here's the pasuk that the Mefarshim pick up on, pasuk Yudalin, kimos namus, everybody dies. Ukamayim anigarim artsa ashaloya seifu. And once somebody dies, they're not coming back. That could mean either you can't bring Amnon back. Your hatred of Avshalom is not going to bring Amnon back. Or you're arranging that Avshalom should die and without having any relationship with you, he's not going to come back then either. So either way, death is never going to bring people back. Or the Radak and the Mesudas David says, why should we hasten? Why should we hasten any death brought to the world? Says the Radak, Kimos namus, kulenu sofenu lamus, ukamo hamayim anigarim artsa, like the water goes down, kein nefashos b'nei adam, lo yeasfu od al guf b'derech hatevel, b'mayse neis, b'tchias hamesim. Right, he's not. You have to wait till Tchias Amesim. So your feelings aren't going to change the situation. V'lo yisa lokim nefesh. V'chashav machshavos levilti yidach v'meno nidach. Hashem doesn't show favoritism. What does that mean? Explains the Mitzudas David that there were really 3 points in this pasuk. Number one, Avshalom wasn't warned, and you can't say Amnon was totally innocent. Even though, but also you can't say Avshalom. Just like he was partially guilty, he was partially guilty. Number two, Ukamayim. What does that mean? Rotza Lomar, says the Mesudas David. Bishlama ha-gozo maman chaveru. If you steal something, you can give it back. But by murder, you can't give it back. Visharam ke mesh kishahaya. And therefore, you have to be very careful about how you act in life. And then finally, the extra point that the Mesudas David adds, V'lo yisel lokim nefesh, Hashem doesn't show favoritism. Meaning, if Amnon was killed, it must be that he was meant to die. Kadosh Baruch Hu was in charge. For whatever reason, Hashem wouldn't have let it happen had Amnon not been chayav misa. Hashgacha haisa misas Amnon. L'chapar avon hashachata. V'yavshalom, he was supposed to... It wasn't a bezdin, but that was his kapara. V'yavshalom hayashliach hashgacha. Says the Mitzvah David. Avshalom was the Shliach. Ve'en la'ashimo kokach. Bios lo hisru bavatara patrasa. What does this remind us of? It reminds us of the Sefer Achinuch by the Mitzvah of Nekama. Remember what he says there? Everybody in life is a subject and an object. As a subject, I have Bechira Chavshis. Hashem's going to punish me and reward me for everything I do. But as an object, somebody punches me in the face, I have to say he was meant to happen. The guy who punched me in the face was a Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it doesn't make sense for me to try to take revenge. It's a very high level, but that's exactly what how we have to have the mentality. Just like Yosef, I mentioned by Yosef HaTzadik. What does Yosef tell the brothers? Don't worry, Hashem sent me here. You know, you guys sold me, but Hashem wanted it to be here. What, the brothers didn't do anything wrong? Of course they did. As subjects, the brothers are going to be held accountable. They sold their brother. But Yosef as an object doesn't hold any hostility because it was meant to happen. Says the woman to David HaMelech, from your point of view, your son was supposed to die. For whatever reason, Hashem wouldn't have let it happen. It's similar also to the Ramban on Kasher Zomam, v'lo Kasher Asa. If the Edim Zomamin caused the defendant to be killed, the halacha is, we don't punish them. Only if they tried to kill him, not if they succeeded. An unbelievable halacha based on the Mishnah in Maseches Makos. And all the Mefarshim say, is that Gzeiras HaKasev? Says the Ramban in Parsha Shoftim, Hashem wouldn't have let it happen. To let Bezdin kill an innocent person? Elokim Nitsa Vadas Kel. Hashem wouldn't have let it happen. And therefore, if it did happen, it must be that the person was Chayav Misa for some other reason. Either way, so she says, you have to realize that this was meant to happen, and you have to try to take Avshalom back. Vayana Melech Vayomer Isha. So now David HaMelech has got it, and says to the woman, Al Nata Chadim and Adavar, don't hold anything back. Asher Anochi Sho Elotach. Don't hold anything back from me. And she says, okay, Vayomer HaMelech, Hayad Yoav Itach Bechalzos. Did Yoav put you up to this? Is he behind this whole thing? Interesting, why did he think that Yoav was behind? Did he know for some reason that Yoav would want him to take Avshalom back? But the Isha says yes, the woman says yes, it was him, he told me exactly what to do, and you are the wisest man that I know, says the woman. Vayomar Melech al Yoav Pasach Chav Aleph, the king calls to Yoav and says, you did this? Okay. Lech Hashevas Anaris Avshalom, bring Avshalom back. And Yoav is very excited. Again, it's somewhat of a mystery why Yoav is so emphatic and encouraging about getting Avshalom back. Vayipol Yoav upon Avartza, Yoav falls on his face, Vayishtachu, and they bow down, and he gives a bracha, thank you for finding favor in my plan, and he brings Avshalom back to Yerushalayim. Pasuk of Dalid, once we think everything is going to be happy again, Vayomar HaMelech, Yisov El Beiso Ufanai Lo Yireh. Let him go around my house, but he can't come in. Vayisov Avshalom al Beisof and Amelech lo ra. David still cannot face him. And why is this? David can't get over the fact that he killed another one of his sons. It's not 100% clear, but that's what it seems like. David still has it in his heart. He can't forgive him totally. Then, in the middle of nowhere, before we continue the story, the pasuk tells us Avshalom was very handsome. Uka Avshalom lo haya ish yafe b'chol Yisrael lahalel ma'od. Mikaf raglo v'ad karkato lo haya bomum. He was perfect. The Radak says, and this led to his rebellion in the next parak, because he thought he was great. It went to his head. He had everything. The Abarbanel wonders, so why is this in the middle of the story? Put it at the end of the parak. The Abarbanel thinks it's just adding to the fact that he was such a comely and handsome and great personality guy, and even so David didn't call him. And even so David didn't, it just shows the deep feelings that David had of not taking him back. Ubegalchas Rosho, the Pasuk describes that he had very long hair, and he cut his hair every once in a while. The Gemara Nazir Daf Dalid suggests that he was a Nazir, right? It doesn't say that explicitly in the text, but that he was a Nazir Olam. He was a Nazir, and every month he was able to cut his hair. And it says, Pasuk Chavzayin, Vayivod Avshalom Shlosha Banim Meis Masachas. He had three boys, he had a daughter, who he named Tamar. Interestingly, he named his daughter Tamar, else covered for his sister. He haisa isha yefas bareh. She was also beautiful. The Malbim notes that in a couple of prakim, we will see that Avshalom did not have any children. So the Malbim says, maybe the Pasuk is emphasizing that he lost his children and still his father didn't come visit him. Again, emphasizing the fact that David HaMelech did not come visit. Vayeshev Avshalom Yerushalayim Shnatayim Yamin. He sat there for 2 years. The king didn't call him. And Avshalom says, I'm embarrassed enough. Vayishlach Avshalom al Yoav, l'shloach oso al HaMelech. He says to Yoav, please, v'lo ava lavo elav. And he still did not. It was as if David HaMelech still had the same feelings. The same feelings that he had originally. He says, twice, didn't work. Yoav gives up. As we mentioned, Avshalom goes and tells his servants to burn some of the barley field of Yoav. Yoav says, what'd you do? The Gemara even picks up on that, that it's like pure baltashchis, not a good thing. Vayakam Yoav, Yoval Avshalom Abaisa, why'd you do that? He says, please get me to my father. So he says, okay, I'll try. So finally Yoav goes, and he begs, Vayavo Yoav El HaMelech, Vayagidlo, Vayikrel Avshalom. Finally, David does agree to see Avshalom. Vayishtachel Alap Av Artzel Lefnei HaMelech. He comes and bows down. Vayishak HaMelech LaAvshalom. David gives him a kiss. But the Malbim and the Ralbag both note, it doesn't say Vayishak HaMelech Avshalom. It's lit Avshalom. What is that Lamed? That Lamed is minimizing it. He gives two Avshalom. It's two Avshalom. The Malbim says, I've explained this elsewhere, that the Lashon of the Malbim. Gam bazeh her'eu shalo yam lichuhu. Also, he was maybe also part of, I should have mentioned this before, part of why David didn't want to take him back, another reason, was because he was older, and maybe he knew that he wasn't going to be the king. And the more he takes him back, the more it might be that Avshalom's going to think that he's the next in line. So even so, he was, at the end, when he allowed him back, it was not full-heartedly. Shekvar Kasav Eben Ezra Parshas Toldos. If you look in the Eben Ezra and Parshas Toldos, Neshika im Lamid hu biyad u bekatef. Kiss with a lamed is with the hand or the shoulder. Without a lamed is with the mouth. V'lo nashak oso betek haro'u. He didn't give him a real full-fledged kiss because he also had the certain feelings. Avshalom might have known this too. Avshalom might have realized that David HaMelech had other plans for the Malchus, which led him, as we'll see, to rebel against his father. But again, a parak that continues the tragedy that was David and Bathsheba, and this is all the continuation of those stories. Okay, we'll stop here.